B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Kuf Gimel. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 10 lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Mishnah, Choytchin, one's allowed to sever, one's allowed to cut off, Yabeles, a wart, from an animal. All the while that an animal has a wart on it, then it is not allowed to be put on the Mizbeach, it's a mum. However, one's allowed to remove it. And one's allowed to remove it, but Migdosh, one's allowed to remove a wart from a korban animal before offering it onto the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdosh. Since removing a wart is only osur midrabanon, and therefore, ein shvus b'Migdosh. Avalei b'Medina, but outside the Beis HaMikdosh, you're not allowed to. And we're obviously talking about that you're removing the wart in a way that's not involving the Aveira of the Meloch of Geizers, which means that you're doing it in an unusual way. That means you're either doing it with your teeth, you're biting it off, which is a concept we'll see in the Gemara, or more probably if he's doing it with his fingers, he's removing it from it with his fingers, not using a tool. Since the normal way of removing a wart is with a tool, and he's not doing it with a tool, it's only osur midrabanon outside the Beis HaMikdosh, and therefore in the Beis HaMikdosh it's mutter. V'im b'kli, the Mishnah adds on, that if you're removing this wart with a kli, kan v'kan osur, then it involves the melocha, which is similar to geizers, shearing, and is osur in the Beis HaMikdosh, as well as outside the Beis HaMikdosh, it's severely osur. Says the Gemara, Uraminu, this Mishnah seems to be contradicting another braisa. Hirkivoy v'hevesov michutz l'tchum v'chatichas yoveltoy ein doichin. And this is regarding the Korban Pesach. If Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and you have to bring the Korban to the Beis HaMikdosh to shecht it, what happens if you have to bring it through the Rishus HaRabim? So we know that shechita, shechting, is normally osur, but when it's a Korban that has to be shechted at that time, one's allowed to shecht in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's part of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. You can shecht it on Shabbos. Are you also allowed to bring the animal through the Rishus HaRabim in order to bring it to the Beis HaMikdosh? Are you allowed to bring an animal from outside the Tchum in order to be able to shecht it on time? Are you allowed to remove a wart from the animal? So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says that it's a machlokes tanoim between Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim, a concept we've seen previously, where the machshire mitzvah doichin es haShabbos. Are you allowed to move Shabbos aside in order to not only shecht the Korban Pesach, which is the actual mitzvah, but even in preparation for the mitzvah, are you allowed to do melachos as well? So it says here, Kivoy, this is the Tanakama, who say that regarding bringing the animal from through Rishus HaRabim, v'hevesav mechutz l'tchum, or bringing it from outside the tchum, v'chatichas yoveltoy, or removing the wart, ein doichin. Those things do not override Shabbos, you're not allowed to do them. That's the Tanakama. Not like our Mishnah that says that choytchin yaveles b'migdosh. And it happens to be Rabbi Eliezer Omer doichin. Rabbi Eliezer argues and says that machshirei mitzvah are also doichin Shabbos, and therefore you can bring it, the animal, through Rishus HaRabim, you can bring it from outside the tchum, and you can remove the yaveles. So we're going to have four explanations in the Gemara why our Mishnah that says that choytchin yaveles is not a contradiction to the Mishnah in Psachim. It's not a braisa, it's a Mishnah in Psachim that says that according to the Tanakama, ein doichin, you're not allowed to remove the wart on Shabbos. So the first two explanations are going to be one from Rebbe Loza and the other one from Rebbe Yosi ben Chanina, and we don't know who said which. Rebbe Loza, Rebbe Yosi ben Chanina, Chad Omar. And this is going to be explanation number one. You have to try and remember this. Explanation number one, ha v'ha belecha. Both Mishnayos, the Mishnah in Erevin that says choytchin, and the Mishnah in Psochim that says that you don't remove the wart, are both talking about a moist yaveles, a moist wart, which means it's still considered live. It's not considered as something which is detached from the animal. Ha v'ha belecha. They're both talking about moist warts. V'loi kasha, kan b'yad. Our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to remove the wart, you're removing it with your hands, which is a shinui, which is kalachayad, kan b'kli. And the Mishnah in Psochim that says that according to the Tanakama, you're not allowed to remove the wart, is talking about removing it with a kli, and removing it with a kli is asr. And it happens to be that it says that in our Mishnah also, that Bekli, it's Asa, even in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara is going to ask that as a question, why do we need the Mishnah in Psachim if it says that detail in this Mishnah as well? So that's one explanation. The Chad Omar, the second explanation, Ha V'ha B'yad. Both Mishnayos are talking about removing it with one's hands. That means it's Kelech HaYad. And nonetheless, in the Mishnah in Psachim, you're not allowed to do it. Why? V'loi Kashya, Ha B'lacha, the Mishnah in Psachim says that even removing it with your hand, you're not allowed to do, you're not, by the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to remove it because it's a wart which is damp, it's still moist, it's attached to the animal, you're not allowed to remove it. However, our Mishnah that says, Choytchin Yabeles, is talking about Yabosha, it's talking about a totally dried up wart. And if it's totally dried up, it's considered as if it's detached from the animal, and therefore you're allowed to remove it. Asks the Gemara, Omar Lacha, Yavesha, Afila Bekli Nami Shari. This second explanation that says that our Mishnah that says Choytchin Yabeles is talking about a dried up wart, then why are you only allowed to do it with your hands and not with a Kli, as the Mishnah clearly says, Im Bekli Kan Vekan Osir? If we consider the wort as being detached, Mai Tama Ifruchei Ifrucha. If it's totally dried up, then the wart, so to speak, is just disintegrated. You should be allowed to remove it even using a tool. So that's a question, and we're not going to have an answer to that. That means explanation number two, that says that our Mishnah is talking about a dried up wart, and the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about a moist one, is a challenge, is a difficult one to understand, because there's no reason one should not be able to do it with a tool. Now, the other explanation, the first explanation, so it says as follows, Uleman d'omah ha b'lecha ha b'yavesha, the person who said this second explanation, Mai tam aloi omar ha b'yad ha b'kli, what did he have an issue with the first explanation that says that both Mishnayos are talking about moist warts, and the difference being that is that in our Mishnah we're talking about removing it with one's hands, and the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about removing it with a tool. Why did he have a problem with that? Omar l'chob, he's going to say to you as follows, B'kli, Hotnan, Im Bekli Kan Vekan Osur. How are you explaining the Mishnah in Psachim that the Tanakhama say that you're not allowed to remove the wart? You're saying you're not allowed to remove it with a wart, with a tool. The question is, I don't need the Mishnah in Psachim to tell me that. It says it here in our Mishnah, Ve'im Bekli Kan Vekan Osur. So it suffices to have this Mishnah alone saying that you're allowed to remove the wart with one's hands, you're not allowed to remove it with a tool. I don't need the Mishnah in Psachim at all. And that's why this second explanation didn't want to learn like the first explanation. And the second explanation explained that even the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about removing it with a hand and is talking about moist, in contrast to our Mishnah, which is talking about a dry one. But according to explanation number one, that the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about removing it with a tool, for that we don't need the Mishnah in Psachim. Ve'idoch, asks the Gemara, how is the person who gave explanation number one actually going to answer this question? He's going to say as follows, Hodik toni hosom mishum de kaboyi fluga rebeliezer v'rabonon. We'll remember that in our Mishnah, we don't have a rebeliezer mentioned. In the Mishnah in Psachim, we have a rebeliezer who says, Machshirei mitzvah, doichin Shabbos. And the Mishnah wants to impress on us that rebeliezer says that Machshirei mitzvah, doichin Shabbos, is not only that it overrides a rabbinical issa, it even overrides a biblical one. So the Mishnah there is talking about removing a wart with a tool, which is a biblical issa, according to the Tanakhama. And Rebbe Eliezer says that even though it's a biblical issa, since it's machshirei mitzvah, it's a preparation for a korban, that the korban of itself overrides Shabbos, proof being you're allowed to shecht it, it overrides removing a wart as well. And to impress that on us, that's why we have the Mishnah in Psachim, and we wouldn't have learned that from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah does not mention Rebbe Eliezer. Ve'idoch. If so, we have a very good explanation to the Mishnah in Psachim. Why did the person who explained the explanation number two, what was his issue with explanation number one? He's going to say as follows. He's going to say that I have another issue, that the Mishnah in Psachim doesn't only mention removing a wart, like in our Mishnah, only speaks about the Yabelis. The Mishnah there mentions the wart together with bringing the animal in Rosh Hasharabim and together with bringing it from outside the Tchum. So it would seem that there's some similarity between removing the wart mentioned in the Mishnah in Psachim, or actually the prohibition of removing the wart in Psachim, and the prohibition of bringing it from outside the Tchum and carrying it in Rosh Hasharabim. And what's similar between the two? Dumya dehirkivoy veveisov mechus letchum. That we assume that the removing of the abeles is similar to hirkivoy and veveisov chus letchum, ktoni. Derabonon, that they're both Isurim Derabonon. To bring an animal through Rosh Hasharabim is only Osum Derabonon. As we've mentioned previously, there's a concept called Chai Noiseis Atzmoi. Anything live carries itself, it carries its own weight. And therefore, if one carries something live, it's only rabbinically prohibited. And therefore, in the same way as bringing an animal in Rosh Hasharabim is only Osum Derabonon, Tchum 2,000 Amos is also only Osum Derabonon. Mina Torah, you can go outside the Tchum on Shabbos. So we assume that the Yabelis, the removing of the wart, or the prohibition of removing the wart, is also an Issa Derabonon. And according to you, explanation number two, where you're removing it, according to you, explanation number one, that you're removing it with a tool, that's how you explain the Mishnah in Pesachim, it's Osam in HaTorah, it's not similar to the other two. And therefore, explanation number two said that the Mishnah in Pesachim is referring to removing it with one's hand. Indeed, it's only Osam in Derabonon, like Hirkivayu, and from Chutz Letchum. V'idach. How is explanation number one going to explain this? Indeed, the Yabeles should be similar to the other two. It should be only Osam Derabonon. How can you, explanation number one, say that the removing the Yabeles is with a tool? It's Osam in HaTorah. So answers the Gemara that the explanation number one holds that the other two things mentioned are also Osam in HaTorah. Bringing from an animal from Rosh Hasharabim is not Osam Derabonon, it's Osam in HaTorah. Why? Hirkivoy, the loiker Reb Nosson, he doesn't hold of Reb Nosson de Omar Achai Noiseis Atzmoi, then animal carries itself, he argues with that, and therefore carrying in the Rosh Hasharabim is Minat Torah. Hevesiv Mechutz Letchum, and bringing the animal from outside the Tchum, that's also Minat Torah. Kereb Akiva de Omar Tchum in Deiraisa. So explanation number one holds that the whole Mishnah in Psochim is talking about Isurim Minat Torah. The Tanakhama say that it's Asa. However, there's one final issue with the Mishnah in Psochim, in the way explanation number one explains it. Mosiv Rav Yosef, this is what Rav Yosef is going to ask. That the Mishnah there continues, Omer Rebeliezer actually responds to the Chachomim who say it's Osir, and they say, how do I, Rebeliezer, know that I'm allowed to do these things of bringing the animal from outside the Tchum, through the Rosh Hasharabim, removing the wart? How do I know? Kal v'choymeh, I learn it out from a kal v'choymeh. Uma shchita, shehi mishum melocha. If to shecht the animal, which shechita is one of the lamates melochis, doiches haShabbos, it overrides the issa of Shabbos, elu, these things, which is removing the yabeles, bringing from out of the tchum, and carrying in the Rosh Hasharabim, shemishum shvus, that they are only also midrabonon, it's true it's only machshir mitzvah, but they're only also midrabonon, einu din sheyitchu issa Shabbos. Of course they should override Shabbos. So you see from the words of Rebbe Eliezer that the Mishnah there, that the Chachomim and the Mishnah there assume that it's all midrabonon. Otherwise he has no kal v'chomer. In which case, Rebbe Eliezer is clearly telling us that the discussion of removing the wart in the Mishnah in Psachim is a rabbinical one. It cannot be that you're removing the wart with a tool, which would be a biblical issa. And that's a question which remains unanswerable against explanation number one. So explanation number one that said the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about removing the wart with a tool, we have a problem with that. Explanation number two that says that our Mishnah is talking about a dry wart, we have a problem with that as well. That if it's dry, why can you not remove it with a tool? So both of these first two explanations have questions against them that we cannot answer. So Rav Yosef is now going to offer a third explanation to explain why there's no contradiction between our Mishnah that says that you can remove the wart and the Mishnah in Psachim that says that you cannot, according to Tanakhama. Ela Omer Rav Yosef, ha v'ha b'yad. And in this aspect, it's similar to the second explanation that both Mishnayos are talking about removing it with one's hands. And both of them are talking about that the wart is moist. It's not dry. So our Mishnah is not talking about a dry wart, like the second explanation suggested. It's talking about a damp wart. And the Mishnah in Pesachim is not talking about removing it with a tool, as the first explanation suggested. Rather, it's removing it with one's hands. And in that aspect, there's no difference between the two Mishnayos. They're both talking about removing it with one's hands and they're damp. So what is the machlekes? How are we explaining it? Ushvus mikdosh b'mikdosh yitiru, shvus to mikdosh b'medina lo yitiru. There's a fundamental difference between the case in our Mishnah and the case in Psochim. Both of them are talking about korbonis. But in our Mishnah is talking about b'mikdosh, you're actually removing the wort in the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, since you're removing it with your fingers, it's only osim ederabonon, ein shvus b'mikdosh. The Mishnah in Psochim is talking about preparing a Korban Pesach. People typically will check the Korban Pesach to make sure it's not got any problems with it. They will check it outside the Beis HaMikdosh. So of course you're doing it for the Mikdosh in order to be able to bring the Korban. But where are you doing it? You're doing it outside the Beis HaMikdosh. So our Mishnah is talking about in the Beis HaMikdosh, so it's Mutter. The Mishnah in Psochim is talking about outside the Beis HaMikdosh. And even though it's a type of melocha, which in the Mikdosh it would have been mutter, ein shvus b'mikdosh, it's only aser midrabanon. However, outside the confines of the walls of the Beis HaMikdosh, it's aser, according to the Tanakhama. Shvus the Mikdosh, b'medina lo yitiru. Outside the Beis HaMikdosh, even though it's a drabanon, which is serving a korban, which is b'mikdosh, nonetheless, lo yitiru, it was not allowed. And we're going to ask a couple of questions on this. That you explain now, you Rav Yosef explain the Mishnah in Psochim, that the reason it's Osir is because even though it's a Shvus B'Mikdosh, it's a type of a Melocha, which is only Osir Drabonon, but it's a type of Melocha that you need for a Korban, but since it's outside the Beis HaMikdosh, it's Osir. Yosef Abaya Uka'oma Lohoshmaita, Abaya said over this statement, this quote from Rav Yosef, this explanation, and Esver of Safra L'Abaya. Rav Safra heard Abaya saying over what Rav Yosef said, and Rav Safra asked Abaya the following question. Hoyo Koyre Basefer, this is a Mishnah that we've discussed previously. We saw this on Daf Tzadik Zayin. Hoyo Koyre Basefer, if somebody was reading from a scroll, from a Sefer, which is very holy, it's one of the Chof Dalet Sforim, Alu Askupa, he was standing on the threshold of his home, V'nizgal Gil HaSefer Miyodoy, and the part of the part that was in one of his hands rolled out of his hands. This galgal sefer miyodoy. Then, since he's standing in the naskupa, and even though the scroll has rolled into the Rishus HaRabim, since half part of the scroll is still being held in his hands in the naskupa, one's allowed to draw the scroll back to him and roll it back. Goyleloy etzloy, you can bring it back, even though you're bringing back part of the scroll from the Rishus HaRabim onto this Askupa, and in the event that the whole scroll had fallen into the Rishus HaRabim, you would not be allowed to bring it back to the Askupa. However, since part of the scroll is still in his hands, you're allowed to bring it back. Asks the Gemara, V'ahocha de shvus de mikdosh, this, the maintaining the honor and respect of Sifrei Kodesh is similar to mikdosh, is to do with Hekdesh, to do with Kedusha. And where is it? The discussion, it's Mikdosh, it's a Kedusha Sugya, the topic of Kedusha, of sanctity, and it's outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh. And what do we see there? V'loi gozrin on Dilma nofil v'osi le'esui. We're not afraid that maybe if the whole scroll would fall out, and then it would be also to bring it back into the Askupa, then therefore, we should say, even when you're holding part of the scroll, it should also be osir to bring it back into the askupa. According to the way Rav Yosef explained the Mishnah in Psochim, that even though you're dealing with a kedusha topic, if it's outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh, there should be an issur d'rabbanon. Then why don't you say that? Why do the rabbanon not say they should make a gezeira? You cannot bring the scroll back to you as a gezeira that, in the case where the whole scroll falls out, you'll also bring it back. So we assume now that the reason we don't make that gezeira is because it's kodesh, it's holiness, and similar to ein shvus b'mikdosh. But we just said now, according to Rav Yosef, that if it's outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh, we do say it's osir. Answers the Gemara, v'lo yikimna ba'askupas karmelis u'roshus harabim oiveres lefonel. The kiven da agidu beyodoy afilu shvus nami leka. Says there's a fundamental difference between the gezeira of removing a yabeles, which is seriously awesome, because if you do it with a kli, if you do it with a tool, it's nisa deraisa on Shabbos, it's a meloch of gezes. then doing it with your hands is a gezeira. It's a gezeira in order to prevent you from doing an issa d'oraisa. That's fine. But over here, in this case, what we're talking about, we're talking about a threshold which itself is only a karmelis. And even if somebody were to, if the whole scroll were to roll into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and he would bring the whole scroll back into the Askupa, it would be carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a karmelis. And that in itself is only Osir Midrabbanon, it's not Osir Min HaTorah. So now you want to say that even when the whole scroll didn't fall out, and he's still holding part of the scroll in his hands, where we say that the scroll didn't really leave the domain of the karmelis, then of course it's going to be mutter. It's not similar to the case in Psachim. Over here, it's making a gezeira to prevent you doing something that even if you did it, it's only Osir Midrabbanon. So that's what the Gemara says. If the Askupa would have been the Rishus HaYochid, and carrying from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, you would be right. Then we should say that in this, if the whole scroll were to have fallen into the Rishus HaRabim, it would be seriously also to bring the scroll back into the Askupa. Therefore, we should make a Gezeira, even when part of the scroll is still in his hands. But here we're talking about a threshold which is a Karmelis. And we said before that the worst case event, carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Karmelis, is not also min HaTorah. V'lo yikmur, did we not explain ba'askupas Karmelis, that we're talking about that the threshold itself is a Karmelis, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim averes lefaneo, and it's the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in front of it, which is where half of the scroll fell into. Tekiven da'agidu b'yodoy, since it's he's holding part of the scroll in his hands, and he's in the askupa on the Karmelis, afilo shvus namileka, it's not even an osir midrabbanon in that case, because he's holding it in his hands, and the only reason there would be an issur d'rabbanon is that in the event that he wouldn't be holding it in his hands, it would be totally in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then bringing it back would be osir min HaTorah. And that's not the case with the Karmelis. Okay, so we've answered that question. Esvid, there's going to be another question. Rav Safra asks Abaya a second question against Rav Yosef. That says, we learnt in Shabbos, Mishalshalin es ha-Pesach le-Tanur im chasheicho. If Pesach itself is Shabbos, you shech the Korban Pesach on Erev Shabbos. Normally, what would they do? They would have to roast the Korban Pesach. Over here, that when Shabbos comes in, once Pesach comes in, it's already Shabbos, and you're not allowed to put this animal on the fire. What did they do? They would lower the Korban Pesach into the fire, into the tanur, into the oven, im chasheicho, just before Shabbos sets in. And normally, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put something on the fire just before Shabbos. When Shabbos comes in, the food item is not fully cooked or roasted or baked, because we're afraid you're going to be mechate begecholim. You're going to turn over the coals to speed up the cooking, and that's seriously also on Shabbos. But here in the Beis HaMikdosh, we don't have an issue with that. Meshalshlin es haPesach leTanur. You're allowed to lower the Korban Pesach into the oven im chasheicho, just before Shabbos comes in. V'ha-hocha, where were they roasting the Korban Pesach? Not within the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh. It was within the old city of Yerushalayim, but it was outside the Beis HaMikdosh. So why don't we say that it's true that you're serving a Korban and you have to do this? But we said before, according to Rav Yosef's explanation, the Mishnah Psochim is telling us that even though Ein Shvus B'Mikdosh, but if it's outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh, it should be also Midrabbanon. So why over here, V'ha-hocha de Shvus B'Mikdosh B'Medina, we're talking about a Shvus, an Issa D'Rabbanon, of putting uncooked, unbaked, unroasted food into the oven just before Shabbos comes in, and where are you doing it? Outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh. And we're not afraid that you're going to stoke the coals. Why not? Ishtik. Abaye did not have an answer for Rav Safra's question against Rav Yosef's explanation in the Mishnah in Psochim. Ki also lekamedu Rav Yosef, when Abaye came to Rav Yosef, Omar Lei, Abaye told Rav Yosef, Hochi Omali Rav Safra. Rav Safra asked me this question, that you, Rav Yosef, say that the Mishnah in Psochim, according to the Tanakama, you're not allowed to remove the wart, because even though in Shavus B'Migdosh, since you're typically removing the wart outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdosh, it's Osa. So how are you going to explain? Why don't we say that it's Osa to put the Korban Pesach into the fire so close to Shabbos? Omarli. So Rav Yosef said to Abaya, "My time eloy tishnuli." Why didn't you, Abaya, answer Rav Yosef as follows? B'nei chaburah's reason hein. Anybody anybody that is dealing, Rashi says that kol ha'iskin bekolchim, anyone that's dealing with hekdesh, with korbonos, zrizin v'chachomim, they are very articulate, they're careful to keep all the halachas, and they are wise, knowledgeable people, and therefore those people we know, they will not stoke the flames. And since it's a bnei, since we're talking here about the bnei chabura, they will not come to transgress this issa, and therefore, regarding putting, lowering the korban pesach into the furnace, into the fire, is mutter. And the Rosh Hashanah explains why this logic will not help in for removing the yabeles, because the Mishnah in Psachim says you're not allowed to remove the wort. Why don't we say bnei chaburah zrizin hein? The Rosh Hashanah discusses that. Va'abaya. Why did Abaya not answer to Rav Safra this answer? Because he holds that indeed, Koyanim Zrizim Haim, people who are Koyanim, where they went through all the years of learning and they're very knowledgeable of all the halachas, they will be very particular to keep all the fine details of the halacha. Omrinon, that we say that. Bnei Chabura Zrizim Haim? Lo Omrinon, but we do not take it for granted that any group of people that are offering a korban, that they are going to be so careful. And therefore, Abai didn't want to answer that. He didn't have an answer. Continues the Gemara. We're now going to have a fourth explanation why our Mishnah that says you can remove a wart is not a contradiction to the Mishnah in Psachim that says you're not allowed to move a wart. Rava Omar Rebeliezahi. It's a whole change now. The contradiction that the Gemara asked was that our Mishnah says you're allowed to remove a wart. The Mishnah in Psachim, according to the Tanakhama, says you're not allowed to remove the wart. However, Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah in Psachim, you are allowed to remove the wart because he says that Machshirei Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos. Now our Rav is saying that our Mishnah is actually following Rabbi Eliezer. That Rabbi Eliezer over there says you are allowed to remove a wart. And it's the same as our Mishnah that says that you're allowed to remove a wart. Rabbi Eliezer Yid Omar Machshirei Mitzvah Doicha Nesa Shabbos. But then we have a big question. If our Mishnah is Rebbe Eliezer, then why are you not allowed to remove it with a kli? According to Rebbe Eliezer, you should be allowed to remove it with a kli, because he says, Machshir mitzvah, Doicha Shabbos. Umoide Rebbe Eliezer, de kamo de efshel ishnuyei meshaninon. Our Mishnah is coming to impress on us that even though the Mishnah says there you're allowed to remove the wart, our Mishnah says, do it with your hands and do not do it with a kli. And even Rebbe Eliezer, who says that Machshirei Mitzvah are doicha Shabbos, and they're even doicha an Issa Doiraisa, a Melacha Doiraisa. Nonetheless, if it's possible to do the Mitzvah without transgressing a Melacha Doiraisa, you can manage by just doing something which is also the Rabbonon, which is removing the wart with one's hands, one should do that. The Kama De'efshe Lishnuyei Meshaninon, as much as you can do to change, to do it in a way that it's not going to be so severely osa, that's what we do. Maihi, we ask, what's the source? Who says that Kontra Beliezer holds that Machshir Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos, who says that you should do it with the least transgression of Shabbos as possible? Detanya, we learned in a Braisa. Kohen She'olsoboy Yaveles. A Kohen himself who has a wart. And a Kohen who has a wart is not allowed to do the Melacha. It's a blemish, it's a mum. He's not allowed to avoid the sorry. He's not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. What should he do? So the Braisa says two things. Number one, chaveiroi choit choloi, his friend should remove the wart, b'shinov with his teeth. Don't remove it with a tool, which would be a normal way of doing it. We're talking here about on Shabbos. Then if on Shabbos this wart, he realizes he has a wart, his friend should remove it using his teeth, not using a tool. B'shinov in, b'kli loi. He should do it with his teeth, not with a tool. Chaveiroi in ihuloi. His friend should remove it, because when somebody else removes a wart, then it's not done as nicely, in such a nice fashion. But he himself should not remove his own wart. That's what it seems from the Braisa. And the Gemara is going to discuss this now. Mani. And before we see what the Gemara is going to say, we have to introduce another Gemara. And this is something that we saw in Shabbos Tav Tzadik Dalet. Besides for the Machleikas we're busy with now, where the Machshirei Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Machshirei Mitzvah are Doicha Shabbos, and the Chachomim say Machshirei Mitzvah are not Doicha Shabbos, there's another Machleikas. There's a Machleikas whether removing a wart, not using a tool, removing it either with one's mouth or with one's teeth, Is that also considered a melacha, or do we say no, it's an unusual way of doing it, and therefore it's not an issa deraisa on any Shabbos? Rabbi Eliezer says that it's chayev chatos. That means removing a wart without a tool and removing it with a tool, is they're both an issa deraisa. The Chachomim say no. The Chachomim say removing a wart, or not only a wart, even removing a person removing his hair or his nails, doing it with a tool is going to be the melacha of geizes, a melacha which is also minatayra on Shabbos. Doing it with your teeth or with your hands is, according to the Chachomim, is only also midrabbanon. So let's see the Gemara inside. Mani, this brisa that we said, that a kohen who has a wart, it should be removed by a different kohen, not using a tool, using his teeth. Ile merabbanon ubamigdosh, are you going to say it's following the Chachomim, the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon say removing a wart with one's teeth is only an osa midrabbanon. And ein shvus b'mikdosh. And we know that even the Rabbanon agree that a melacha that's normally only osa midrabbanon is allowed to be done in the Beis HaMikdosh. Kiven de'omer Rabbanon ba'alma mishum shvus, hocha mali hu mali chaveroi. That would explain the braisa that you should do it with his teeth, not with a tool. Because if you're doing it with the tool, it's awesome, it's a melacha min ha-Torah. With his teeth, it's not a melacha min ha-Torah. But why can't he do it himself? A person who bites off his own wart, it's also nim awesome with Rabbanon, and for the same token, ein shvus b'mikdosh, the Chachomim should say, they're according to Rabbanon, it should be mutter. And in the Rabbanon itself, who say that you're not allowed to do in the Beis HaMikdosh a melacha, which is nisa d'oraisa, because Machshir mitzvah, not Doicha Shabbos, then we're only talking about the Rabbonons. In the concept of Ein Shvus B'Migdosh, there's no difference between this type of Shvus and that type of Shvus. It's true that it could be that removing it, if one's friends removed it, then it's even a weaker Rabbonon, and proof being that even according to Abeliezer, who says that if a person removes his wart himself without a tool, It's chayev, it's a melacha min ha-Torah. If his friend does it, it's certainly a shinui, and it's certainly a derabbanon. So we don't say that we prefer his friend to do it because it's even less osa than doing it himself. No, ein shvus b'migdosh means ein shvus b'migdosh, and it's mutter. Elolav, it must be that this braisa is not the rabbanon, because the braisa says that your friend should take it off, not himself. So it must be Rabbi Eliezer. It must be Rabbi Eliezer who says that there's no difference between removing it with a tool and removing it without a tool. They're both, if the person does it himself, they're both osam min ha-Torah, and it's mutter because machshir mitzvah, doicha Shabbos. Rebbe Eliezer de Omar ba'alma chayev chatos. We're talking about the Rebbe Eliezer who says that taking off a wart with one's teeth, even not in the Mikdash, or not in the Mikdash, is melacha min ha-Torah. V'hocha, here, afal gav de machshir mitzvah doicha nes ha-Shabbos, even though we override Shabbos to do machshirei mitzvah, even if it's melacha min ha-Torah, kamor de'ef shel shnuyim mishaninon. If the whole concept is only ein shvus b'migdosh, there's no difference between one shvus and the other. But once we say that what overrides Shabbos is the fact that it's machshirei mitzvah, and therefore even a melacha min ha-Torah is allowed to be overridden, but here we say, just a minute, do the melacha that's the least osa possible. And obviously doing it with a tool is more osa than doing it with without a tool, doing it with one's teeth, with one's hands, and for a friend to do it, is even less osa than to do it oneself. Proof being that doing it with one's friend, even outside the Beis HaMikdosh, is only osa midrabbanon, and even according to Eliezer. So we see here clearly a braisa that's going according to Eliezer, that says that one is doicha, even a melacha min ha-Torah, and nonetheless the braisa says, don't do the melacha min ha-Torah. Do it b'shinov, do it alidei chaveri. So you see over here that according to Eliezer, even according to Eliezer, you should do the least possible issa that one can. And coming back to Rava's explanation, in the contradiction of these Mishnayos, where Rava says that the Mishnah in our Mishnah that says that choit chin yabeles, and it says in our Mishnah you should not do it with a tool, it's Rebbe Eliezer who says that even though machshir mitzvah doicha Shabbos, even melacha min ha-Torah, however, if you can do it with your hands, not with a tool, you should do that. Says the Gemara, loy, You don't have any proof from this braisa with a kohen that has a wart that Rabbi Eliezer actually holds that you should do the least possible issa when being doicha Shabbos in the Mikdash. La'olam Rabbonon, it could be that this braisa is the Rabbonon and not Rabbi Eliezer. And we asked according to Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon say that removing it with one's teeth or with one's hands is always an issa de Rabbonon. If so, we asked, why does his friend have to remove it? Why can he not remove it himself? He says, "Vi also be kreiso." It's true that if the wart is on his stomach and somewhere that he can reach with his teeth, hachanami, he can remove it himself. Hacha b'mayaskinon, what we're talking about here? This Bryce is talking about kagoyin also loy neshicha begaboy. It's if the wart is actually needs to be bitten off on his back. A person cannot bite off a wart on his back. Ubatzile yodov or his elbow. It's not possible for a person to bite off a wart on his elbow. And therefore, it says he should use his friend, but not because halachically it's preferable to use a friend over himself. Practically speaking, he cannot do it himself. So continues the Gemara. V'i Rabbonon, if indeed this price is the Rabbonon, nishkele niyade b'yad. Why does the braisa not say that you should, it's true his friend should do it, but say that his friend should remove it with his hands? Why are you saying you should remove it with his teeth? They both, according to Rabbonon, they're both only also mid Rabbonon. Why are you saying remove it with your teeth, not with your hands? If it would have said you remove it with your hands, then we would be able to deduce from there that you could only remove it with your hands, you're not allowed to remove it with a tool. V'tifshoit derebelozo. Rabbi Loza maintained that the whole machlekas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbonon, whether removing one's nails, not using a tool, is also min ha-Torah. Rabbi Eliezer says it's also min ha-Torah. The Rabbonon say it's only also min ha-Rabbonon. The whole machlekas is if you're not doing it with a tool. But avul bekli, if you're doing it with a tool, then even the Chachomim agree, Chayev, that it's also min ha-Torah. So had this Braisa said that his friend can remove it with his hands, we would be able to deduce from there that removing it with his hands is allowed under those circumstances, not with a tool, proof being that according to Rabbonon, removing with a tool is also min ha-Torah. But now that the Braisa only mentions removing with one's teeth, you cannot say that only removing with one's teeth is also midrabonon, but removing any other way is also min ha-Torah. You cannot say that because removing with one's hands is also not also min ha-Torah. So you would have no proof from this braisa that removing with a kli is also min ha-Torah. It's only if the braisa would mention the hands is mutter, kli is also min ha-Torah. But now that it mentions the teeth, you've lost that proof. So why did the braisa mention the teeth and not the hands? Asks the Gemara, Ula Ta'amech, according to you, L'Rebbe Eliezer Nami, you want to say this braisa is Rebbe Eliezer, and there's no difference between doing it with a tool, or doing it with one's hands, or doing it with one's teeth, it's all awesome in HaTorah. And Machshiri Mitzvah, Doicha, Shabbos, you're allowed to do that. Just do the least possible Issa, and therefore do it with your friend, somebody else should do it, and somebody else doing it is always only going to be also midrabonon. But letameich Rabbi Eliezer nami lishkulein yalei biyad. What's the difference between doing it with one's teeth or doing it with one's hands? That if you do it yourself, it's also min ha-Torah, and if somebody else does it, it's not. Hai mai, iyomus b'shleimu Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says as follows. I'll explain it to you. If this braisa is Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer says that teeth, hands, tools, it's all awesome in HaTorah. I can understand that you should only be able to do it with your teeth. Why? Hainu de gozar yad otu kli. Doing it with one's teeth is so far removed and so unusual that nobody will come to learn from there that you can also do it with your, remove it with a tool. However, and therefore nobody will ever come to remove a wart on a regular Shabbos, not in the Beis HaMikdash for a Kohen. However, if you allow them to remove it with your hand, then people might think, oh, removing it to the hand, which is that little bit more common and more usual than removing it with one's teeth, and it's that little bit closer to removing it with a tool. So we make a gzeira and we say that even in the Mikdash, we don't allow you to remove it with your hands, because people may then come to remove it when it's also to remove it, only remove it with your teeth. The gozar yad, they make a gzeira of yad otu kli. Eloi omrus Rabbonon, but according to Rabbonon, that removing it with one's hands and removing it with one's teeth, it's all also mid Rabbonon anyway. אלו ימלס דרבונון היא, נשקלן ילי ביד, וסולי מידי. Then just, he can remove it with his hands, and that's fine. So the maskon of the Gemara is that that braisa is Rebbe Eliezer, and therefore we do have proof from Rebbe Eliezer that one should do the least possible issa that one can, even though the concept of machshir mitzvah doicha Shabbos overrides even melachos min haTorah. And that's Rava's fourth, that's the fourth explanation. That's Rava's explanation of the Mishnah is that both that our Mishnah is Rebbe Eliezer, and the reason that you can remove it with your hands and not with a tool is in order to minimize the degree of the issa that one is overriding for the machshire mitzvah. Vesuloi midi, there's no more questions and difficulties on this explanation, and we can move on to the next Mishnah. Says the next Mishnah, Kohen sheloko be'etzboi, a kohen that his finger was wounded. Koirich oleo gemi b'migdosh. It's inappropriate whilst you're doing the avoida that a wound should be exposed. It's not the way that one serves Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. It's appropriate to cover over the wound. How does he cover it over? Koirich oleo, he wraps around his finger a gemi, something which is not a material, it's not a beged, it's just some reed grass, and he's allowed to cover over b'migdosh, but only in the mikdosh. Avloi b'medina, but since it's something which is therapeutic, it's something which is healing, and you're not allowed to engage in any healing on Shabbos, and therefore outside the Beis HaMikdosh, you're not allowed to do it. But since it's only also midrabbonon, in the Beis HaMikdosh, you're allowed to do it, since it's a tzorech HaMikdosh. Im lehoitzi dam, however, if you're going to wrap your finger, which is wounded, in order to release some of the blood, which is also not the tzorech avoida, there's no, the avoida in the Beis HaMikdash doesn't require that, and also it's a melacha min haTorah, it's not just a gzeira of engaging in healing and therapeutic activities, it's actually a melacha of chayvel, which is a melacha. Lahoitzi dam kan v'kan osur, not only is it osur outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's even osur in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Bereider of Chia. Rav Chia said as follows, Lo yishonu, this that a kohen, for the sake of being able to cover over his wound, which is the way, which is most appropriate way of doing the avoida, is only allowed to put on his wound a gemi, a reed grass, something that's not considered a beged, it's also very small, it's also not material, and he's allowed to do that. Elo gemi, aval tziltzul cotton, but a small type of a belt, which is made of some material, and it's a type of a beged, you're not allowed to put that on the wound. Why? Because have a yitur begodim, because we know that a kohen is only allowed to wear the number of clothing items that the Torah says, a kohen gadol 8, a kohen hedyot 4, and adding another cloth is asa. Yitur begodim, we learn it from a pasuk, you're not allowed to have more clothes than the Torah allows. And therefore, gemi that's not considered a cloth, one's allowed to put on. However, this tziltzul, this small tziltzul, which even though it's less than 3x3 etzbois, it's not really considered a beged. Nonetheless, it's got the chashivos, it's got the significance of a beged, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, Breid Rabbi Chia says, you're not allowed to use or put on this tziltzul on the wound. And before we continue the Gemara, we should really introduce what's going to be going on here in the sugya. For a kohen, besides the kohen has to wear the number of clothes that the Torah says he has to wear, not more and not less. And that's, that means any clothes item that a kohen wears beyond what he's supposed to wear is an issa of yitur begodim. It doesn't matter where he's wearing it. There's another issue, and that's an issue of chatzitza. Chatzitza means a separation. There's not allowed to be a separation between one thing and the other. We'll explain in a second. That's called a chatzitza, like we know if somebody goes to the mikveh and there's something on his skin which doesn't allow the water to penetrate to all areas of his body. It's called a chatzitza, a separation between the water and his flesh, and the tefillah will be invalid under many circumstances. A kohen, there are two issues of chatzitza for a kohen. Number one, there's not allowed to be any chatzitza, any separation between his clothes and his body and his flesh, which means that if he puts on another piece of clothing underneath the clothing or on top of the clothing, or let's say underneath the clothing that he's supposed to be wearing, it's chatzitza between the clothing and his flesh. It's chatzitza. So it's not only an issue of yitur begodim, which would apply even if it's on top of his clothes, but it's an issue of chatzitza. There's another issue of chatzitza, and that is a person's between a person's feet and the floor of the Azara. There's not allowed to be a chatzitza between a person's hands and the vessels, the clay shoris that he's using to do the avodah. There's not allowed to be any chatzitza at all. The rules of chatzitza and the rules of yitur begodim are not the same. Yitur begodim applies anywhere on your body. Chatzitza. Okay, right. And okay, that's as far as yitur begodim. Chatzitza will only apply either between his clothes and his flesh, or between his hands and the kelim. But if he's going to put the back of his hands on where he's not where nothing is tucked, there's no clothes supposed to be worn there, and there's no melacha, no avoda being done there, there's no issue of chatzitza there. If what you're wearing is considered a beged, there's an issue of yitur begodim. So right through the sugya, we're going to be going backwards and forwards, and the Gemara actually sometimes uses the term chatzitza when it means yitur begodim, and Rashi tries to explain it each time. But we've got to keep in mind in each point in the sugya, what we're dealing with. Are we dealing with an issue of chatzitza? Are we dealing with an issue of beged? And with chatzitza, it doesn't really matter how much. Even a single thread could be a chatzitza. And the Mefarshim discuss why the rules of chatzitza here seem to be a bit different to the rules of chatzitza by mikvah. But there's an issue of chatzitza. It doesn't have to be any significant, substantial size. To be considered a beged, usually it has to be a significant size. It's got to be at least 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois, 3 fingers width by 3 fingers width. There's going to be a discussion if you have something which is a clothing, which is very significant, but its significance in as its value or its use, but not as in its size, which means it's smaller than 3 by 3 etzbois, but it's got a significant use. Is it considered a beged or not? That's going to be a sophic in the Gemara according to Rava. But these are the topics that we have to keep in mind. Let's see the Gemara. So we saw that Rabbi Yehuda Breider of Chia says that one is allowed to cover the wound with reed grass, with a gemi. One's not allowed to cover it with a tzilzul cotton, with a small belt. Because if you do, according to this version of the Gemara, and not much is going to change later, just the terminology is going to change, what the Gemara says is the problem is yitur begodim. It is wearing an extra clothing. And the truth is, besides for yitur begodim, it's also going to be an issue, obviously, of chatzitza if he's wearing it either between his fingers and the kelim, or he's wearing it between his clothes he's supposed to be wearing and his flesh. Rabbi Yechanan argues with Rabbi Yehuda and says that one is allowed to, the kohen who has a wound is allowed to cover the wound, wrap around the wound or the finger with this tzilzul cotton, with this small belt. Why? Rabbi Yechanan Omar lo omru yitur begodim elo b'mokim begodim. The issue of yitur begodim only applies if he wears the extra clothing in a place in his body where normally clothes would be worn. But on his finger, according to Rabbi Yechanan, there's no issue of yitur begodim. However, if it's not where one would normally wear one's clothes, for example, on one's finger, which is what we're talking about here, the Mishnah says explicitly we're talking about a wound on his finger. There is no issue of yitur begodim. According to this version of the Gemara, the Rabbi Yechanan says that it doesn't matter how big the clothing is, even if it's going to be more than gimel al gimel tfachim. Etzbois. Even if it's going to be more than 3 by 3 fingers' breadths, if it's not being worn where the clothes are normally worn, it's not got an issue of yitur begodim. Regarding chatzitza, we're going to have to see now. V'teipu klei mishum chatzitza. It's very good that you say there's no issue of yitur begodim, you Rabbi Yochanan, because there's no issue of begodim because it's not b'mokim abegodim. But it should be a problem of chatzitza. You wrap your finger around with a belt. There's a chatzitza between your hands and the clay shoris. And the same question applies even according to Rabbi Yehuda Breider of Chia, our Mishnah, that if you're covering over the wound with a reed grass, with a gemi, then it's true it's not considered a beged and there's no yitur begodim, but it is going to be a chatzitza between his finger and the clay shoris. So what have you gained by saying that it's not yitur begodim? V'teipu klei mishum chatzitza. Answers the Gemara, 2 answers. Number 1, Bismol, if the finger is on his, if the wound is on his left hand, and even then it's inappropriate to do the avoida that way, one should cover it over. But there's no issue of chatzitza because there's no avoida you can do with the left hand. Inami biyamin, or even on the right hand, shalei b'mokim avoida, if he's putting it on the back of his hands, on back of his fingers, in a place where it's not going to get in the way between his fingers and the clay shoris. And the Mefarshim discussed that this belt, koirich means to wrap round. How do you wrap round your finger without it being a chatzitza between his finger and the clay shoris? That's a discussion in the Mefarshim. But either way, chatzitza, we're talking about where there's no issue of chatzitza. Yitur begodim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no yitur begodim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is yitur begodim, and therefore you're not allowed to wear this tzilzil cotton. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he says there's no issue of yitur begodim when it's in an area which is not normally covered with clothes, and therefore there's no issue of yitur begodim, irrespective of how large it is. Upliga de Rava, and this Rabbi Yochanan that says that If a garment is worn, shaloi b'mokim begodim, not in a place that's usually got clothing on, then any type of size, it doesn't matter how large it is not going to have an issue of yitur begodim, is not following what Rava says. The Omar Rava, Omar of Chizda, b'mokim begodim, in the event that means if we're talking about a place where normally he's covered with the clothes he has to wear, then afilu nimo achas chaytzetzes. As far as chatzitza between the clothes and his flesh, even a single thread is a chatzitza. Sheloi b'mokim begodim. However, if it's not in the place where he normally wears his clothes, then sholosh al sholosh, only if it's got 3x3 etzbois wide, then it's considered a beged, and then chaytzetzes. Then it's considered as a beged, and he's not only is there an issue of then the chitzetes here means there's an issue of yitur begodim. It's too many clothes. Even sheloi b'mokim begodim. Pochis misholish al sholish. If it's less than 3x3 etzbois, eino chitzetes. The Rava says that in the case of that anything, any beged which is less than 3x3, sheloi b'mokim begodim, is not chitzetes. That means there's no yitur begodim. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan vaday pligi. They're definitely arguing on Rabbi Yochanan because Rava says explicitly that shaloi b'mokim begodim, if it's 3x3 etzbois, it's a problem of yitur begodim. Rabbi Yochanan said explicitly there's no concept of yitur begodim, shaloi b'mokim begodim. The question is, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya mi neima pligi. Is he also arguing on what Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya says? Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya said that one is not allowed to wear the tzilzil cotton. Why? So the Gemara said the reason is because of Yitur Begodim. But this tzilzul is less than 3x3 etzbois. So and Rava says that even Shalei B'mokim Begodim, or Shalei B'mokim Begodim, if it's less than 3x3, it's not choytzetz. So according to Rava, would one be allowed to wear this tzilzul cotton? It's so small. Says the Gemara, no. Shani tzilzul cotton de choshev. It could be that even though Rava says that the general rule is that shaloi b'mokim begodim, there is an issue of yitur begodim. Providing it's 3x3 etzbois large, that's only necessary on an insignificant piece of material or garment of clothes. But tzilzul cotton, which is significant, then even if it's smaller, it could be that Rava agrees that there will be an issue of yitur begodim. That's the first version of this Gemara. Now we're going to see Lishna Achrina, another version, and even though the terminology is going to change a little bit, but Rashi says there's going to be no difference, not in what Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya, and not with what Rava says. There's only going to be a difference as to the reasoning behind what Rabbi Yochanan said. In the first version, Rabbi Yochanan says you are allowed to wear this tzilzul cotton. The reason you're allowed to wear it is because it's shaloi b'mokim begodim, and shaloi b'mokim begodim, there's never an issue of yitur begodim. In the second version, we're going to say no. Rabbi Yochanan's going to allow him to wear the tzilzul cotton only because it's too small, only because it's less than 3x3 etzbois. But if it would be more than 3x3 etzbois, even though it's shaloi b'mokim begodim, it would be osur. Let's see that inside. Lishna chrina omri lo. Omer of Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya. Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Chiya says, Lo yishonu elogemi, the Mishnah that says that the Kohen is allowed to cover his wound, it's only with the reed grass. Aval tzilzul cotton, but wearing this small belt, In the first version said there was a problem of Yitur Begodim. In this version it says Chaitza to act as a Chatzitza, but in both versions he says that it's a Chatzitza according to the rules of Hilchas Chatzitza, and it's Yitur Begodim in the rules of Yitur Begodim. That's Rabbi Yehuda Brei Derchia. The Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan here again argues with Rabbi Yehuda and says that you are allowed to wear the tzilzul cotton, and he explains. If the garment is more than 3x3 etzpoys, there's an issue of yitur begodim. However, in a case where it's less than 3x3, then there's only going to be an issue with chatzitza ela b'mokim begodim. Only in the place of begodim, then there's going to be an issue of what the Gemara calls chatzitza. Aval shaloi b'mokim begodim, but not in the place where a person would normally be wearing his clothes, and then shalosh al shalosh chaitzitzos. If it's 3x3 it's boys, then there's an issue of yitur begodim. Pochis mishalosh al shalosh. If it's less than gimel al gimel it's boys, for example, on his finger, which is not a mokim of begodim, then if it's less than gimel al gimel it's boys, namely the tzilzul cotton, in chaitzitzos is no issue at all of yitur begodim, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And according to this explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, the only reason that you're not allowed to, that you are allowed to wrap the finger with tzilzul cotton is because it's too small, not because it's shaloi b'mokim begodim. And that's the only difference between the two versions of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Hainu d'Rava. So Rabbi Yochanan, according to this version, who says that shaloi b'mokim begodim, then it's only considered yitur begodim if it's 3x3 it's boys, it's exactly what Rava said. Rava said that b'mokim ha-begodim, it's chaitzitz even just one thread, and shaloi b'mokim begodim, then it's only chaitzitz if it's more than 3x3 etzbois. So this, in according to this version, it's following Rava. V'hainu de Rava Amar Rav Chisda. This is what Rava says in the name of Rav Chisda. Asks the Gemara Leima Pligi de Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chia. Now, what is Rava arguing with Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chia? Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chia said that you're not allowed to wear this tzilzul cotton. And we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you are allowed to wear the tzilzul cotton. The question is, according to Rava, is he allowed to wear the tzilzul cotton? Or do we say no? Rava says that shaloi b'mokim begodim, it's only called yitur begodim if it's 3x3 it's boys. Tzilzul cotton is not 3x3 it's boys, and therefore you should be able to wear it, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, there's no proof that Rava argues on Rabbi Yehuda, Shani Tziltzul Cotton, the Choshev, like we said before, it could be, according to Rava, the significance of the Tziltzul Cotton means that there's an issue of Yitur Begodim, even though it's not 3x3 its boys. So according to Rava, it's a discussion. According to Rabbi Yochanan, according to both opinions in the Gemara, both versions in the Gemara, there's no issue of wearing the Tziltzul Cotton. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Breid Rav Chia, you're not allowed to wear the Tziltzul Cotton. Asks the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that the Kohen is allowed to put on his, wrap his finger with a tzilzul cotton for the same token as you can wrap it with a reed grass, Ado Ishminon Gemi, Le Ishminon Tziltzul Cotton. Why does the Mishnah tell us that the Kohen is allowed to wrap his finger with the reed grass, say he's allowed to even wrap it with a tzilzul cotton, according to Rabbi Yochanan? Answers the Gemara, Milsa Agav Urcha Kamash Malon. This Mishnah wants to teach us another halacha, a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos, that Degemi Mosi, since this reed grass is actually therapeutic, it's healing, and therefore we may have thought that there's an issue of engaging in activities that contribute to healing, which is also to do on Shabbos. And the Chiddush is that since it's B'Migdosh, he's allowed to do it, and there's no such issue because of Ein Shvus B'Migdosh. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.